This morning's scripture reading will be from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted.
Good morning. Just as Mike came to the conclusion of his rocks and stones, I am coming to the conclusion of my heroes of faith verse. Even though we kind of have concluded at the end of chapter 11, the different individuals that are mentioned throughout that chapter, man put the verses in there themselves, and chapter 12 really kind of adds an epilogue or a conclusion to the running commentary about these different heroes of faith that we should be looking at. And I'm going to steal one of Mike's lines that he stole from someone at Florida College. If you look, the first verse there, the first word in the first verse is therefore. And Mike says, he said, if when you see therefore, you need to figure out what it's there for. Well, because it's a conclusion of what we've just studied all throughout chapter 11. All these heroes are mentioned and what they went through and what led them to be willing to put themselves through whatever challenges faced them. Therefore, then we need to address what is covered in these next three verses. He's really just trying to draw conclusions for anyone reading his words on the faith that we have just been studying. We've noticed and talked about week after week that all these people that had great faith caused them to have to make great sacrifices. And so we need to think about, well, how can we get that same great faith that the heroes had? And we know that we're told that, you know, we were not worthy to have them be a part of our history, but they were. And so we need to talk about then, how can we do great things for God? How can we make great sacrifices for God? And so that's what we're going to look at here. Now, the names that we've learned about in Hebrews 11, the whole reason for listing them is that we should study them, that we should have them be impacting our life. And with them, there's now this great cloud of witnesses surrounding us. And, well, what are they witnessing? Well, they're witnessing us. Just as we've looked back at them, they now are at a point where they can be that great among that great cloud of witnesses. We are surrounded, even today, though, by great examples of faith. And so it's our turn to be a strong, faithful person for others to witness. It's our turn to do these great things. It's our turn to make these great sacrifices. And so the writer begins by telling us four things that really need to be done if we are to be successful by being, you know, an example of faith. The first thing the writer tells us is that we need to lay aside every weight. There are so many things in life that if we think about it, that can slow us down and hinder us from having great faith. And this is not a physical weight. It just anything that could be a hindrance for us to becoming as faithful as we should be. Maybe it's our daily schedules. We just jam-pack them full of activities and things that we are doing, whether it's work or family life or whatever the case may be. We need to be looking and understanding how our schedules could be putting that weight on us, and that's what maybe what is preventing us from doing great things or making great sacrifices. And so really, it's an individual thing, because what may be a weight to you might not be a weight to me. And so we need to look at these things individually, that what might be causing us to stumble or just might be that hindrance for us meeting this goal. Marriage and family is great, but if it comes to the expense of our faithful life, then it's something we have to work on. And I saw an example that said, if your family is preventing you from doing things, well, bring your family with you as you do these things. They can see right away that faithful example that you're putting forth. And that was such a great point that I came across. And so you can find ways to make that hindrance be a part of your faithful living. And so you could focus on your difficulties and challenges, and by eliminating that could maybe allow you to focus on challenges that you see other people having. If you can overcome yours, then you can help someone else. Kind of like when you fly on an airplane and they put the little, the lady or the flight attendant will do the safety speech, and she says, when the mask drops down, put your own mask on, and then, and only then, should you help someone else. That's the same thought here. Once you have your own self taken care of, then you should start looking around for others you can help. And so, you'll find that your attitude and your whole way, just your overall, well, I guess attitude is what I'm looking for, is will be improved, because generally, I think we all like helping people, and if we can help people in an area as important as this, well, that'll certainly help you look for other ways that you can become more faithful and so forth. So we need to make arrangements so whatever hindrances in our life can get by them. When I went to Texas to speak with my now employer, I let them know that, and I've talked to them about it since, that when I... They were a client of mine. So I had a lot of time to know about them and their culture and so forth. And in my mind, this was a job that I was going to be getting into where I'd be working a lot of overtime, that Saturdays and Sundays were regular work days for people. And I let them know, listen, you can have my Saturdays if you need them, but Sundays are off limits. That's the day that I worship. And they were like, that's fine. And of course, it turns out I was basing my impressions of them on old knowledge. That was under an old boss. The new boss doesn't require anybody. Matter of fact, just this week, I heard him say for the first time, we may have to put some Saturday work in to kind of get caught up on this one database. And so that worked out, but I let it be known in case that was not the case. And so I wasn't going to let that become a hindrance. I addressed it right up front. And so that's just something that we could do. And so the biggest thing is that we have to understand there are no excuses before God, and so we shouldn't go looking for excuses. Like we talked about on Wednesday night, I just bought a field and I need to go look at it, or I just bought some. Don't let life's goings on become a way to use it as an excuse for serving Him the way that we should. The next thing that Hebrew writer tells us is that we should lay aside the sin that so easily ensnares us. Talked about this kind of recently in one of my main sermons. So basically we need to not let sin control our lives. Sin can't be in control. If it is in control, then we can't serve and we can't properly be an example that we need. We just will not be successful in doing that. And so we need to, another thing, I can't answer for you and you can't answer for me, but what sins are in your life that may be giving you troubles? What temptations make you stumble? And so now is the time to deal with those issues. And you could use this desire to be a great example of faith for others, and let that be what you need when you're fighting temptations, that you could keep this goal in mind and work towards it. And so he's already told us we need to travel light, we need to get off the heavy burdens, but here he's telling us this is a weight that hinders all of us, this sin in our lives, and so we need to shed that to allow us to be able to be more effective in our service. The next thing he says is we need to run with endurance. the race of which is our life is not a short race. That's all we know being on this earth is human time. There will be an eternity that we also will have to realize. But for right now, life is not a short one for us. And so we have to understand that it's also not an easy one. But we have this 11th chapter of Hebrews to help us understand that these witnesses that are now watching us, they had challenges, they had to endure. And so we need to have that same attitude because we have to endure the challenges and the different obstacles that Satan will present to us. And so he's telling us here, you need to just buffet your body to be able to fight the fight and have the endurance to reach the end. And the Apostle Paul said, in other places that we need to gird our loins for battle. We need to be prepared. We need to just brace ourselves and be prepared for what Satan has in for us. So if we don't prepare and we take this advice lightly, well, we're going to be brought to our knees pretty easily. Things are going to be hard. We will suffer from disease and illness. People are going to let us down. People are going to reject us. And if we aren't prepared, if we haven't really prepared for that time, well, then it will knock us down. And so we have to endure through the different challenges that we have in our life. And it's important for us to remember how this whole discussion began back at the end of chapter 10. My first lesson prepared us to be able to look at chapter 11. And verses 35 and 36 of Hebrews 10 says, "Therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." So if we endure, we are going to have the same rewards that all of these heroes that we studied in chapter 11, that reward that helped them get through their challenges, we have the opportunity to receive that same reward. And so we shouldn't be so willing to just let that reward go based upon challenges we face on this journey. What doesn't kill us makes us stronger. You've heard that before. Well, as we come through a challenge, that'll better prepare us to weather it the next time. And so when we have difficulties, use that as a learning moment and be prepared in the future, and also be prepared to maybe help someone else who's going through a similar situation. And if we do so, that'll just be another way to help us get that promised reward. And then the fourth thing that he mentions here is that we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We have to have a focus on what Jesus did as he was here on earth. Verse 2 says, "For the joy that was set before him, he did all these things." He didn't do it for immediate pleasure or immediate gratification or adulation from the crowds or so forth. All that he did here was what he knew was coming and what was in the future. And so even though he knew the painful experience he would have on the cross was coming up, he still did it because he knew of the joy that was going to be on the other side. And so when we are having difficulty, when we're tempted, when we're losing maybe a fight against sin in our lives, we need to, as it says here, we need to think to Jesus about all the struggles that he went through, the suffering on the cross, and be like him and look forward to the joy that'll be after the difficulties. And it also says Jesus disregarded the shame. Well, when we look to Jesus, we need to consider how he handled himself while hanging on the cross. We are told people mocked him while he hung there. When he was in front of everybody, all the people passing by called him names, said disparaging things about him. They, even before he got to the cross, we know that the guards and so forth hit him and spit on him. Even the criminals who were hanging beside him, at least one of them changed later, but at least initially, they were hurling abuse at him as well. And so that was a period of shame that he had to endure for us. But it didn't cause him to say, hey, this isn't worth it. This isn't what I was hoping for. But he did it because we go back. He knew the joy that was waiting for him. And so in the end, Jesus was triumphant, and he sat down at the right hand of God and is there to this day. He was exalted. He received any reward that was waiting for him. And so we need to look and focus on Jesus when our life is giving us troubles. I want to reread verse 3 just to put it in our minds, even though Jim just read it for us. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. And so this concludes by saying that, you know, he endured the cross, he had the shame, and he dealt with this hostility. And so we are going to face similar things to that. And so we should not grow weary, and we shouldn't lose our spirit or our heart because we have this example of the endurance that Jesus had. So when we are having trouble, we need to ask ourselves, how could we even think about giving up? We have these examples of this cloud of witnesses that we've just learned about, and they were able to successfully run their race. We could look at Jesus, who endured death so that he could overcome. And he is the source and the perfecter of our faith, as we're told here. Look to him because he's gone through a human life and knows what we were suffering. Jesus perfects our faith because we know that he went through far more than what it is than we would ever be asked to endure. In fact, that's the point the writer is closing with and talking about the great faith of all our heroes and of the Savior. They become sources of encouragement for us because we see their troubles and that we were able to endure. So we've not been called to suffer to the extent that they suffered, but if they were able to do it, we can as well. So really just a conclusion of all these weeks of studies, great faith does great things, but also requires a great sacrifice. We develop that great faith for great works by laying aside our weight, not allowing anything to hinder us towards that goal. We have to lay aside the sin that could entrap us and prevent us from having that great faith. We have to run with endurance, but most importantly, we have to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus and understand that he suffered for us, and so we should be able to endure in our own lives. Jim Bragg has our prayer, and after that we will be dismissed and begin our class shortly.